Appreciate Brother Vian. Amen. The joy of singing. Appreciate him and his wife. What a blessing they've been to our church and to me personally. I just think a lot of Brother Vian going back to school and doing all the things he's done. Just a real blessing to us, and appreciate them. And
very faithful members. Thank you very much. I like for people to sing whose voice backs up what they're living, and vice versa. Amen. Well, I hope you've got a chance to look in the vestibule and see. We finally got the picture of Brother Henderson hung, and got a chance to see that, and that'll be the beginning of our Heritage Hall. And got that up this week, and of course the display out in the vestibule of the building, what it will look like, Lord willing, when it's completed, except for maybe a drive-through, amen? After this morning's rain, maybe we'll put a drive-through on this side. Not a drive-through like a Sonic. Y'all know where I was going with that. That would be nice as well, but maybe an awning of some sort to drive under to get out of the rain. And so, but anyway, I hope you got a chance to look at that. And I appreciate Miss Obenauer and my wife working on the stage and buying some new foliage up here and just looking good. And so we're looking forward to just doing some things here and there with the parking lot and chairs in here and carpet and mower. The mower's important, right? If you wonder what the Easter offering will be this year, it's the mower. So you can start praying now. What can I give towards mowing the yard at the church? Amen. Y'all don't seem excited about the mowers. I guarantee you Brother Stone's excited about it. And Brother Brandon's excited about it, wherever he's at. Does he even come to church on Sunday nights? He is standing. He's sitting with the youth and just blends right in. Amen. All right, turn if you would to Psalm. The book of Psalms, look at Psalm 66, verse 18. Man, the children sang my sermon. Did y'all hear that? Amen. It was good, the first song. And the second song they sang was on prayer. And I'd like to speak again tonight on prayer. Now, next Sunday night, Lord willing, I want to get back, and y'all will say, oh, hum, but I want to get back and finish the book of Ephesians. And so we'll start back next Sunday night preaching paragraph by paragraph, or however the Lord leads, through the book of Ephesians, and we're about chapter 4. And then next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we'll get back to preaching just some great chapters in the Bible, and I'm looking forward to that next Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, Brother Stewart will be with us. And I'm telling you, I am so looking forward to his preaching, and I love just hanging out with him. I love that when he comes, I get to hang out with him and spend some personal time with him. And we don't talk about fishing when he comes, we talk about the Bible. And I enjoyed asking him questions and just receiving the blessing from him. So we'll look forward to that over the next couple of weeks. Look with me, Psalm 66 and verse 18. Psalm 66 and verse 18. The Bible says, Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. And Lord, tonight's more of a devotional type message. I pray tonight that each of us would just take time to confess and pray to you more as we should. In Jesus' name, amen. D.L. Moody once said that confession is a spiritual debate between ourselves and our heart. That, again, let me read that. Confession is a personal debate between ourselves and our heart. You ever been in that situation where your heart is grieved and you have a debate as to whether or not to get that thing right with the Lord? You know, you debate yourself. Paul did that in Romans chapter 7, where he said, the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do, and the things I don't do, those... And he had a debate within himself. And we experience this as we struggle with the old and the new nature as they war against each other. As we talk about prayer, and we've talked about it the last couple of Wednesday nights, I always like that acrostic. And for those of you who may be new Christians, this is a good way for you to think about when you're praying. And the acrostic is pray, P-R-A-Y. The first one when you come to the Lord is to praise Him. Praise Him for who and what He is. I'd advise you to write it down in the back of your Bible and follow this pattern. It's certainly not the end all of patterns to pray, but it's a good way to come to the Lord and praise Him, number one, for who and what He is, and come to Him thanking Him for who He is. Don't come to the Lord just begin to ask questions. You need to butter Him up first. And I don't mean that the way it sounds, but you know, I'm not trying to be whatever sacrilegious. But come to Him and thank Him for what He's done for you first. Don't just rush into the throne of grace and begin to ask for stuff. I mean, boy, just think about it. This morning as I drove to church, I was thanking the Lord that when I got to the church building, I was going to be dry. You know, inside, I have a warm building to meet in. I have a home that I live in. I have a table, and my wife, I had a leftover fettuccine today for lunch with chicken in it, and it was good. And God's provided. I have 5 children and a wonderful wife and just all the things God's blessed me. Take some time just to praise Him for who He is and thank Him for what He's done for you. I know I sound like a broken record sometime, but listen, we need to be reminded when we come to the Lord, spend some time thanking Him for what He's done for you. Thank Him for the blessings He's given you. Thank Him for the many things He's brought you through and what He's going to do for you in the future. So come to Him and praise Him for who and what He is. As you thank Him, also by that I mean when you praise Him for who and what He is, thank Him for His character. Thanking for His attributes. Thanking that He is supreme, that He is God of all and Lord of all and with all power and all knowing. And man, just go in and just praise Him for who He is. Again, it's a great place to begin as you go to Him and pray. Pray. And then the R stands for repentance. For repentance. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Confession. Go in the Lord and confess your sins. When I was a child, I remember individuals praying such like, they pray like this. They would say, Lord, forgive me my sins. My dad always pointed out to us every time. He'd say, now listen, you don't just go to the Lord and pray for your sins and ask for forgiveness of your sins. You go to Him and you lay them out. Be careful about praying generic prayers when it comes to sins. God, the Lord wants us to come and confess those sins that we've committed and to lay them out before Him individually, not necessarily collective. Amen? Or else He wouldn't have used the word sin. He would have said, all right, just come and confess your sin, which would be that old nature. I mean, all of us have the old nature. All of us are selfish, as we preached this morning. But as a Christian, He wants you to come and confess your sins, plural. Come and confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to come to Him and confess, repent of our sins. And then number 3, ask. Then come to Him and ask. By the way, when you come to Him and ask for others first. I think that would go along with the message this morning. Ask for others first. And so you begin praying for others and their needs and their wants and their physical problems and whatever the case is. And spend some time just praying for your prayer list that you receive on Wednesday nights and pray for those who have job situations and just go through and begin to ask the Lord. John R. Rice says, if you're not asking when you're praying, you're not praying. And that's true because prayer means ask. The word pray means ask. So if you come to the Lord and you're not asking for something, you haven't prayed. So come and ask Him. Ask Him for others and then yourself. It's not wrong to pray for yourself. It's not wrong to come and pray about whatever things are going on in your personal life or whatever decisions may be made about you personally. Come and ask. And then number 4, why, the letter Y, yield. Yield. Praise Him for who He is. Repent of your sins. Ask for others and then yourself. And then fourthly, yield. Yield to His will. You know, there are various ideas as concerning yielding to God's will. For instance, I think about Ashley's grandfather tonight, who is eat up with cancer and is not expected to live. And certainly we want to pray for him. Amen? But I sincerely believe as we pray for him, we pray for God's will to be done. And certainly God can heal him. Amen? God can do anything. James speaks about that God hasn't stopped healing today. He still heals. He doesn't use faith healers, but He uses the prayers of good, godly Christians. Amen? The prayer of a righteous, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we come to God praying fervently, God will answer our prayers. But we need to yield to His will. And I always say that, you know, God always answers prayer. Always. Yes, no, or maybe. Or yes, no, or wait would be a better term. God always answers prayer. Yes. No, or maybe we need to wait. But God always answers prayer. As we think about praising Him, we declare His sovereignty and recognize His power and His ability to answer our prayers. And listen, we serve an all-powerful God who can do anything. As we come to Him and confess our sins, we come to Him admitting what we've done. We come to own up, if you would. To own up or to admit. That's what confess means. to own up to or admit. 1 John 1:9 says, if, and that's a good one, if we confess, if, I got it circled in my notes here, if we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful. I'm glad He's faithful. Faithful. He's always faithful. He will do what He says. Amen? He always keeps His promises. And He says if we confess, if we come to Him and own up to our sins, admit our sins. And again, I want you to know, 1 John 1:9, that word sin is plural there. It's not talking about the selfish nature necessarily that we have to come and confess our sin as we did when we came to Him for salvation. That's different. As Christians, we come to Him, we confess our sins, plural. So if we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful. He always keeps His promise. And just, that word just means fair. I again remind you that God always has your best interests in mind. He is always fair. He is just. Period. You know, we sometimes have a hard time as parents being fair with our children. But let me tell you, God is always fair with His children. He doesn't have to, you know, balance between the two, you know, whatever it is, decisions. He's always fair. Amen. He is fair. He is just to forgive. To forgive. Boy, I'm so glad He forgives us. He forgives us our sins, plural, and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness? No, all unrighteousness. I'm telling you, there is not a sin you could commit that God will not forgive you of. Amen? And what's great about God's forgiveness is He forgets. He forgives and He forgets. When God forgives us, the Bible says He forgives us and our sins are thrown in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. God forgives. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to come and confess our sins, to own up to or admit to our sins. The word confess means to agree with God, to admit my guilt. To admit my guilt. We need to just come to God and agree with God. Hey, we've done wrong. We have. By the way, the Bible also refers to sin as simply rebellion against Him. Amen. So we come to Him, we confess our sins, we agree with Him that we've done wrong, we admit our guilt, and when we confess our sins, we are agreeing with God concerning the sins in our life as revealed through the Word of God. So when the Holy Spirit convicts us, shows us our sins, then we're to come and confess those to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is faithful to forgive us from those sins. Confession is to verbalize our spiritual shortcomings and admit we have sinned. Admit our spiritual shortcomings. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of shortcomings. And we need to admit it as such. Psalm 66 again, verse 18, the Bible says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We notice first off, there must be a heartfelt recognition. It is important to God that we confess because it indicates to Him that we take seriously our mistakes and failures. That we take them seriously. Our prayers will not be effective if sin maintains its grip in our life. What does the psalmist say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If there's sin in our life, God will not hear our prayers. That's exactly what it's saying. Prayer clears the conscience of guilt and opens the heart to truly believe God. I don't know about you, but I'm a lot more confident when I'm teaching or talking to somebody about the Lord when my conscience is clear. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit's there empowering me because my conscience is clear and I'm clean and pure before God and righteous before Him. And God can use me when I stand before Him having confessed my sins. As you stand up teacher and you teach your kids in Sunday school or children's church or junior church, wherever it may be, master's club, let's get up and teach with authority because our hearts are clean before God. Amen. Confession is hard because it's painful. It's painful. Old Paul said when he was thinking about his own sins, he said, you know, no man outwardly could show me where I had sinned. He was a Hebrew, the Hebrews, and so forth. But he said, oh, wretched man that I am, when he saw himself on the inside. Amen. So it's painful many times, though outwardly we may live a clean life inwardly, it's hard to look on the inside. It's painful to look on the inside and see our selfish tendencies on the inside. Amen. It's like a battle. And again, I don't want to go through Romans 7 again, but it is a battle. When we get into that spiritual warfare with the flesh and the devil, it's a battle. And we war against this flesh. And we war against the spirit. And against the flesh. And against the spirit. And back and forth and back and forth. It's a battle. It's a battle. And the battle is raging in our lives. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen? I want to be on the Lord's side. I want to be clean before Him. And I realize coming before Him and confessing my sins that He will forgive me. One is, somebody has said that it's kind of like spiritual surgery. Confessing our sins is like spiritual surgery. Confessing is what heals the wounds, if you would. It's like when we sin, when we confess our sin, God goes in and cuts that sin out and then applies the balm of Gilead to bind the wound. Spiritual surgery. How are we to pray for our loved ones and how are we to pray for others if I have not dealt with my sins fully? My prayers depend upon my spiritual well-being. In other words, my prayer before God depends upon how I am spiritually. That's very serious. Think about it now. Some of you parents who go to pray for your kids, and when you come to God to pray for them, and yet they're sinning your life, and your prayers aren't effective, how are you to influence your children by prayer if your prayers are not effective? Isn't that serious stuff? Amen. That's very serious. Kids now being growing up and going off to college, and how are we to pray for them when they're away from us? How are our prayers to be effective if we have things in our life that shouldn't be there and therefore our prayers are ineffective? That's very, very serious. My prayer depends upon my spiritual well-being. How is your spiritual well-being tonight? Are you where God wants you to be in your spiritual life? If we're going to pray for the sick, pray for our families, and pray for the church, we need to be in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Spurgeon who said this. He said, before we pray for a change in circumstances, we should pray for a change in character. Because my prayer depends upon my spiritual well-being. We need to come to God and confess our sins and look at our own lives, and because our prayer depends upon our character and where we're at in our spiritual life. Psalm 139 verse 23 says, the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Search me, O God. You say, well, preacher, how am I to know what my sins are? You go to God and you say, Lord, search me. Lord, show me the sins that are in my life. Show me the things in my life that shouldn't be there. And He will. Isaiah, as he saw the Lord high and lifted up and the train filling the temple there in Isaiah chapter 6, and he saw the Lord for who and what He was, then he said, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. I'm undone, Lord. Man, when we go to God and we see Him for who and what He is, it helps us to see us for who we are. Job had the same circumstance as he went through all those trials. And at the end of those trials, Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. And he said, I repent in dust and ashes. You say, if you want to see your sins for what they are, then go to God and see Him for who He is. And it will reveal the sins that are in your life. Amen. You put yourself up against God and you'll see the sins that are there. I will see the sins that are there. Daniel confessed his sins, though his enemies, according to Daniel chapter 6, could find no fault in him. That's what they said of Daniel. Same thing they said of Jesus. Amen. I find no fault in him. Daniel, we find no fault in you. And yet Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, came to God and confessed his sins. The very statement's in there. I confess my sin. Daniel understood, though outwardly maybe a great man of God, there were still sins there on the inside that need to be confessed. God works best through clean vessels. God works best through clean vessels. I've used this illustration before, but my papa believed absolutely in cleaning drains out with rock salt. Lived out on the farm and had a septic system that was 100 years old, and the roots had grown into it and all the things had happened, and about, you know, every couple of weeks, he'd pour a bunch of rock salt down the toilet and flush it. I always, as a little kid, just fascinated. Said, "Papa, why are you pouring salt down the toilet?" He said, "It's going to kill the roots of those trees that are growing in the sewer lines, and it'll kill them, and it'll clean the sewer system out and keep the pipes moving, keep the sewer moving." Amen. Right? Keep the drains clean. Well, the Bible's referred to as salt. And we need the salt of the Word to help keep our system clean, to help keep us spiritually where God intends for us to be, because God can work better. God can work through a clean vessel. I want to remind you tonight that you don't have to be perfect to be used of God. I'm not saying that at all. And God absolutely will give us grace in the hour we need it. But if we want to be the most effective for the Lord Jesus Christ, then our pipes need to be clean so He can use us more effectively. Every area in our life where we are not where we should be as a Christian, God has to work around that. And sometimes He works through it. You ever felt that? Amen. So let's keep the rock salt in our pipes. Let's keep the pipes clean. Let's go to God and confess our sins. Allow spiritual surgery to take place in our lives and keep our lives before God clean in order that our prayers might be effective. Every prayer that we come to God with, and every time we come to God and pray for somebody else, we ought to take it seriously. We ought to take it seriously, because if we come to God and we pray to Him and there's something in our life that's making our prayers ineffective, then what good is it to pray? Hello? We need to come to God and confess our sins, perform that spiritual surgery. Confession is necessary. Isaiah 59 says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Well, and you see this several times in the Bible, this repetition of the same principle, that when there's iniquity, when there's sin in our life, then God will not hear our prayers. It's crucial for spiritual growth. It's crucial for spiritual growth that we confess our sins. And allowing our prayers to be effective, we must come to God and confess our sins. Think about old Pharaoh and the 10 plagues. You know, Moses come to him and said, "All right, let my people go." Nope. And another plague would come. He said, "Okay, all right, I'm good. Tell the Lord to stop." But you'll notice in those 10 times, he never repented. He never asked Moses to ask God for forgiveness for him and for what he did. And so he just continued in that circle of plagues. There are Christians today, and I've been in that situation before, we've allowed sin in our life, and because we haven't repented, God continues to send plagues into our life. Whom the Lord loveth, He what? Chasteneth. You reap what you... It's a biblical principle. God's not going to let us get by with sin. God will not let us get by with it. Amen? He's just, He's fair, and He's gracious and merciful, and He's slow to wrath. But when it comes down to it, you reap what you sow. And so as we think about Pharaoh never repenting, we need to come to God and repent of our sins. Not just ask Him to stop, but come to Him and say, "Lord, I know I have sinned in my life, but Lord, forgive me of this sin that's in my life." Maybe God will stay the plague. Amen. How do we confess? Well, we find a great example in Psalm 51. So just turn back a couple of chapters there. We understand David committed adultery with Bathsheba and was approached by Nathan the prophet and confronted by Nathan the prophet. And David wrote this psalm after he was confronted by Nathan the prophet. You understand David was king of Israel? I mean, the king of Israel, one of the most powerful nations of the world at that time. And in fact, his son Solomon would be the king of the most powerful nation of the world at that time. David, king of Israel. You know what he could have said to Nathan? "Off with your head." Nathan the prophet, he could have said, "All right, you guys grab him, take him out and hang him." Amen. He could have. But notice what David prayed after he was confronted. It says there in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You know why David was a man after God's own heart? Because when he was confronted, he asked for forgiveness. David wasn't a man after God's own heart because he never sinned. David was a man after God's own heart because he had a soft heart. I've said this to many teenagers. You know, as teenagers began to get their... they've always had their own personality, but you began to see that personality develop. And you got one child that is... When you approach them about something they've done wrong, you know, they're very stubborn and stern about it. And then you approach another child about it, and that child starts to cry about the minute you say, "Did you know?" Ooh. And what do we say about that child? They have a tender heart. That's a good thing, by the way. It's a good thing. David had a tender heart. David had a tender heart. He came to God and he confessed his sins. He had mercy upon me, O God. You know what mercy means? Mercy means don't give me what I deserve, God. Don't give me what I deserve. And we should go to God with that same attitude. Lord, don't give me what I deserve. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, heal me. Look at verse 10. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me." Let me just take an aside tonight and tell you, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell the believer. In the New Testament, when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and He indwells you. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon you. Well, there's a lot here, and that's another reason why we don't believe in Holy Spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit doesn't come upon us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Amen. So David was asking God, he was saying, "Do not take the Holy Spirit from me. Don't cast me away. Create in me a clean heart." Crucial. Crucial. Pray, number one, we see in verse 10, pray for a divine holiness. Pray for divine holiness. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, help me to live like I should live. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, forgive me. We should ask ourselves the question, what improvements do I need to make? What needs cleansing? Where have I failed God? And what areas have I failed God? Was I honest in my dealings with others around me? Were my thoughts pleasing to God? There's a tough one. As God reveals our spiritual shortcomings, we should confess those sins and claim victory. Lord, create in me a clean heart. A clean heart. We should pray for cleansing. We should pray for divine holiness. Number two, David prayed for a divine attitude. A divine attitude. And renew a right what? Spirit in me. Renew a right spirit in me. Unless our attitudes towards others is forgiving and redemptive, God will not hear us. Boy, we need to have the attitude of forgiveness with others around us. Renew a right spirit within me. In fact, he goes on to say further, he says, there later on, he says, "Lord, return unto me the joy of thy salvation." He wanted that right spirit, that divine attitude that we all should have. Sometimes Christians are the grouchiest people you'd ever meet. You know? And I'm not saying we have to go around with a false smile on our face. If I tell you one of my glitches, y'all would all look for it from now on. I have a glitch. My dad calls it a grimace. It's one of my nervous twitches. I have one. And it's a good one, though, because I thought about it the other day. I've caught myself doing it again. Like when I'm just watching TV or not thinking, I'll do this. I said, you know what, though? Someday that would be good for me because someday my face would just stick there permanently. I'd be like the Joker, right? Now y'all be looking for it. I want the preacher to start grimacing or not. My dad used to smack me for it, you know. Quit it. That and my restless leg syndrome. But they have cures for that now. Take a pill. Take care of that. That's my commercial for tonight. Y'all all good? All right. Renew a right spirit within me. Return to me the joy of thy salvation. And Christians, we ought to have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says we receive a new spirit. A new nature. A new spirit. The joy of the Lord. A new song. We ought to have that song in our heart. Amen. And David was just saying, you know, renew a right spirit within me. Again, our attitudes need to be what they are. Bitterness towards others will drain the prayer, will drain the power right out of your prayers. Bitterness will drain the power from your prayers. We need to have the right attitude as a Christian toward others and towards ourselves and towards the Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Boy, if we had more time, we'd spend some time there. Confess your need for divine guidance. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. Come to Him, and we need His guidance. I don't want to make a decision without Him. But when I have sin in my heart, when I have sin in my life, I'm making decisions without Him. Amen. That's what He says. Cast me not away from thy presence. We need the presence of God in our life in order to defeat temptation. Matthew 6:13 says, lead us not into temptation. And we need to be right with the Lord. We need Him. We should come to Him and say, Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You. Lastly, David cried out for the presence of God. For the power and presence of God. Lord, don't cast me away. Don't take Your Holy Spirit from me. We understand that as Christians, when we sin, that fellowship with God is broken. And if you would, not the presence doesn't leave us. Holy Spirit's presence doesn't leave us, but the power does. The power. Lord, don't remove the power that Your Holy Spirit gives me. We need Him tonight. I wish tonight I could be even more forceful in my own life, in regards to my own life, in my own prayer life. And I've really enjoyed the last couple of years, and this is an area I've worked on in my life, that I want to be more effective in my prayer life. And I will tell you personally, in my own life, the last couple of years, I've seen the difference in my life when I do take time to pray. I'm talking about, I pray every day, but I'm talking about a dedicated time to pray to Him. And when you do that and you pray for others and you pray for your fellow church members, you pray for your family, what a difference it'll make in your life. And I'm telling you, when you get to that time allotted that you have set aside to pray, and when you come to that time and you come into the prayer closet, and when you come to that prayer closet and you begin to pray, I'm telling you, if you do it on a consistent basis, when you come into your prayer closet, you'll know whether or not you're right with the Lord. Because your prayers, you can tell it, your prayers will not be answered. And you don't have that communication between you and the Lord. If I had some of you raise your hand tonight, some of you would testify to it. You say, I've experienced that in my own life. When you get a consistent prayer, when you begin to have that consistent walk with God, by the way, all of us should. And if you don't, keep trying. Ask the Lord to help you. He'll help you. Amen? And as you develop that consistent walk with God, and you come into the prayer closet, you come in, you say, Lord, I thank You for who and what You are. I thank You for all You've done for us. And you begin to feel that curtain close. And you'll say, and then all of a sudden you say, Lord, I'm sorry I said that to my wife. I'm sorry I did that to my kid. I'm sorry that I said that to the deacons this morning. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. And man, when that happens, I'm telling you, you can tell. I'm telling you, in Christian life, you can tell when you're being serious with God and when you're not. And the Lord knows, because He knows everything. If you come to God and you confess your sins and you don't mean it, He knows. And there'll come a place in your Christian life, if you are growing as you should, that you'll be able to tell. Amen. Woo! I'm just telling you. And when you come to God and you are clean before Him, you will feel, and I don't mean the word feel as in whatever, but we come to God, you will feel the presence of God and anticipate the answers from God. Lord, thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, thank You for what You're going to do. And you'll come to your prayer life and you'll come to your prayer time a lot less selfish in the way you pray. Not perfect. None of us are perfect. But coming to Him, having praised Him for who and what He is, and praised Him for all the things He's done for us, and then repenting of our sins and confessing those sins. He forgives those sins. And then you walk in, you begin to pray for your kids. And what a blessing it is to feel the Holy Spirit's presence. King Hezekiah had come to the throne. Before him, Ahaz had been king of Israel. And the Bible says Ahaz was a wicked, wicked king. Very wicked king. The altars had been torn down. The temple had been forsaken. In fact, when Hezekiah came to king, he was 24 years of age, and he said to the priests, "Hey, come on, let's dedicate, let's consecrate ourselves, let's clean the temple out." And it took them 2 weeks to clean the rubble out of the temple. By the way, the temple was smaller than this building. I mean, it wasn't a huge building. 2 weeks to clean the temple out. And they began to clean the temple out, and it says there in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles, and the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord and to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad in the brook Kidron. So they went in and they cleansed the house. It took them 8 days to simply clean enough to where they could get to the porch of the temple. 8 days just to get to the porch of the temple. It's amazing. Sometimes it may take us a little while to get to the porch of the temple in our cleansing. You may have to go home tonight or in the morning and spend a little time with the Lord and take some time. Instead of 2 minutes in prayer, you may want to take 30 and just come to Him, Lord, for confessing our sins. The Bible says in Corinthians that we are the temple. Know you not that you are the temple? We are the temple. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And sometimes we just need to have a good old-fashioned temple cleansing. How's your temple tonight? By the way, when the temple was cleansed, the priests came and consecrated themselves and sacrificed. The Bible says in verse 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings unto the house of the Lord." Before you come bearing gifts to the Lord, before you come to Him with your offerings of prayer, you better cleanse the temple. Cleanse the temple out. By the way, it says when they came, after the temple was cleansed and the priests were dedicated and consecrated, and as it were, the sins were confessed, that a great revival took place, that thousands upon thousands of sacrifices were made, and God showed up in a mighty way. Let me tell you tonight, when you cleanse the temple and begin to offer up sacrifices to the Lord, spiritual sacrifices, God will show up in your life in a mighty way and do great things for you. In fact, He'll do above what you think and ask. It's amazing. Amazing. Let's all stand. We'll have a time of invitation. Hymn 1.